Why are police photographing our license plates?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to the Reasonable Voice radio show. I'm your host, Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice. The mission of The Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for better and more affordable education, our humanity, world peace, and of course, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal economic opportunity and justice for all without truth decay. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing both creative artists and political unity as solutions to our challenges.
Good afternoon. This is the Reasonable Voices News Talk Radio program, and I'm your host, Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice. You know how much I love filmmaking. And today we're going to talk to another star of the film In a New York Minute, Amy Chang. Amy, how are you today?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, too. It's wonderful to talk to you and have the opportunity to do so. I've watched In a New York Minute, at least a half a dozen times by now. And each time, well, we'll talk about my impressions as we go. Let's get more information about you in the film.
Okay, great.
All right. The film, In a New York Minute, will have its world premiere at the 2019 Newport Beach Film Festival on Sunday, April 28th, 2019. It will follow up with a Los Angeles premiere at the Los Angeles Asian Pacific Film Festival. In a New York Minute follows three female strangers who accidentally discover the solution to their problems lie in a single test. And exactly. Thank you, Amy, for appreciating that. She can keep a secret just like I can, I'm sure. So Our star today, our guest today, Amy Chang, plays Amy Chen in A New York Minute. The film, In a New York Minute, is based on a Chinese short story that takes a slice of life look at relationships highlighted specifically to this film by Asian and Asian American-led cast. I think one of the things I love most about In a New York Film Minute is that it proves how very much humanity, all cultures and sexual persuasions and genders and political, all of that boils down to as much as we use those things to sort of divide us and label us, we really are, all of us, humankind, are dealing with the same challenges and that life throws at us, society, relationships, and we're doing the best we can do. What do you think, Amy, about all that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Mandy, the director, and also the writer of the film, did a really great job at just introducing all these different slices of life, as you mentioned, and just really highlighting all the different things that for an individual might be their entire world, but everybody can relate to each of these stories in a different way.
Absolutely. While I am so impressed with, as you say, Mandy, writer, director, Mandy has shown us our universality as human beings, There are some very specific cultural things that might not be a challenge to some of us seeing this movie that are also included in this wonderful film, In a New York Minute. So, Amy Chang, I want to compliment you on how incredible your performance as Amy Chen masters the gamut of emotions. I mean, you have quite an arc, quite a journey as a character. So tell us how a food critic deals with an eating disorder.
Yeah, that was definitely a challenge. Well, first I just wanted to also tag on to what you were saying earlier about the cultural challenges. One of the things that I really appreciated when I first got my hands on the script and read through it was the way that Mandy really highlighted the Asian and Asian American experience.
Yes.
And each of these three characters has a different level of immersion in the American experience, I would say. And so, for instance, my character, Amy Chen, she doesn't speak any Mandarin. She speaks only English throughout the entire film, versus Yi's character and Celia's character, who play the other two leads. They all have varying degrees of Cantonese or Mandarin. And I think that's really specific to where the current Asian American experience is. And I appreciated that Mandy included that in the script.
I couldn't agree more. She really, both in her writing and her directing, have treated the three main female stars as individuals, no question, that they each are at a different, shall we say, point in the journey. How's that?
Yes, that's a great way to describe it.
But at the same time, she deals collectively with the challenges of humankind. And frankly, having seen the film, I only needed to see it once before I realized that you as Amy Chang, if not Amy Chen, does not need a fake boyfriend. I'm not giving away too much when I say that you have this line, "I'm not as pretty or as young as the other women in the office." And I thought you look, now that I hear you as Amy Chang, I hear your maturity and I appreciate it with all due respect. But I think you look as young as anybody in the movie. So how's that?
Thank you.
One of the scenes I love so much is the scene you have with another very fine actress who plays your mother. But it has a little twist to it, but I'll leave how much you tell us up to you.
So I have the pleasure of working opposite Pei Pei Chang from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon fame. She played Jade Fox. So that was really enjoyable. Pei Pei Chang is very revered in the Asian community, certainly, and I would say also Western audiences who might be familiar with her work.
Yes.
She was just a delight, just so grounded and warm, and just really, I felt very comfortable immediately working with her. And so it wasn't much of a challenge at all to see her playing a mother figure to me. And that just made our scenes together that much easier to do.
Absolutely.
And it was also just the respect that she commanded from everyone in the cast and the crew. But she was also very friendly and welcoming. So it was a nice combination.
She's clearly a professional who knows what she's doing, but she also knows why she's there. And I'm happy to hear that when the cameras are off, she is a person that welcomes other talented people who may not have been around as long as she has. I just felt that the way the two of you did this scene had so many layers and ripples and, you know, subtext going on that it made it more than what we might call the standard fare of a mother-daughter relationship, a challenging mother-daughter relationship on film. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would say I felt like we tried to portray the history of their relationship. Obviously, mother and daughter, you know, many years together. There, even though Amy felt that her mother was probably a little too involved in her personal life, specifically her romantic life, there was still the love and respect and the desire to please, but while still trying to stay independent. And I think there's that was the dance that we were doing, where it wasn't so much, you know, I'm rebelling and I don't want to listen to anything my parents say, or the other extreme, which is, okay, just do whatever it is to please the parents. I think that's one of the challenges that my character had, was trying to figure out her own way while also honoring her parents. You know, the merging of the Asian and the American cultures for herself and what that meant for her.
Yes. And also, while all of that was happening, you were also being bombarded by a number of other characters, particularly in the workplace. Well, Well, he was everywhere, really. But, I mean, you know, it's not like the rest of the world was leaving you alone to find a path with your mother, right?
Exactly, yeah. Oh, Peter.
Yeah.
Peter.
It's true. He, you know, and tell us a bit about that actor, because I have to say, he was consistently the kind of man I would never be. How's that?
Oh, that's one way to put it, yeah. Peter was played by Jay Shin, who it was a delight working with him. We had more than a few awkward scenes.
Yes.
Because of the relationship between the two of them. And, you know, between takes, we would be laughing and joking. But when we were in it, he was very much... It's funny because Jay is so not like Peter. So yes. it was fun to see him in character and out of character. Because in character, Peter... is a very nebbish and, can I say annoying? He was annoying.
Yes, annoying is fair.
Yeah, but
he had a mission. But he had a mission.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
He had a mission, and he was pursuing it. Yes.
Yes, he was definitely very dedicated.
Yes.
He knew what he wanted, and he would go after it. And on some level, I think Amy realized that and admired it. You know, mm-hmm. because I think one of the things for her also is that she was trying to figure out what she wanted.
Yes.
And so to see that in him, it's hard not to give in to that single-minded direction.
Yes.
That Peter had. But versus Jay, the actor, who is just super funny, super charming, and very easy to talk to, and not at all annoying. So it was fun to see him go in and out between the two.
Well, I have to say, I was so impressed with, I was impressed with the writing, with the directing, with the use of camera, and certainly with the performances. And I had a feeling, because as often happens, I mean, I play a lot of roles that are nothing like me either, but I just felt like this actor was really, because he was so focused, he was so... consistent on target. And I think if drive as now getting away from getting out into the world of society, if drive was the only thing that was necessary to win the day, certainly his character would have done that. But I wonder about your I'm dancing around this. I'm sure you'll understand. You seemingly are spilling your guts so very often throughout the entire movie, and and pretty good, huh?
Yeah,
we'll play. We are, and I imagine people, because there are other storylines, there's other evidence, if you will, of reasons and why things are going on. Because while these ladies initially are strangers, there's no question that as we see their different storylines, that they are going to intersect, and yet. The reasons behind much of what you're going through are not given to us. And I love that. I cannot tell you how much I love that. How did you, because you, Amy Chang, as actor, you played that so, let me put it this way. Sometimes when we see characters in film, they foreshadow their own future, but of course, as the character, they don't know their future. So, how do you do that?
That's a good question. Like you mentioned, I think a lot of it was in the writing itself. Mandy did a very good job of sprinkling just a hint of things in the story, but not so much as to give away what was going on with Amy. And I think everyone can, many people can relate to the experience of some part of themselves that they might not like or might not have fully embraced yet, and how that affects their day-to-day life, whether it's at work or in their personal relationships. And so I think I was focusing mostly on that, rather than, you know, trying to, like, just the day-to-day life of Amy, rather than what she was hiding. Because I think she didn't want to think about that part of herself.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense. We're all battling with past and with things that we wish were better than they are. And I'm not saying that's necessarily the only thing that is on Amy's shoulders, but we are. And it was just, again, we come right back to the writer and director, Mandy. By the way, could you say her name for us? I know you're being kind by calling her Mandy for me. But I think her name should be heard, and I don't want to butcher it.
Mandy is also known as She Manly.
And she goes by Mandy, but I just wanted everyone to hear it. But, you know, I know I'm gushing a bit. It's because I do a lot of interviews, many with, you know, other areas in the arts, discipline and politics and history and all that. But when I really see a movie that I love, when the writing and the directing and the camera work and the acting all come together to tell a human story, that is moving. And I guess we should, before we go to a break, we should mention one other male character in particular. I mean, there are others. We don't want to think this is what men who don't know anything about movies call chick flicks. This is not a chick flick, but it is told from a woman's point of view. But the men are strong. Tell me about the actor who kind of popped into your life. He worked for you. And what I liked about him is that he generally had only 60 seconds of camera time at a time, and yet he made quite an impression, and I think also his subtext involving you was really well done. Who is he?
So I believe you're referencing the character Bobby, who
yes.
plays my assistant.
Yes.
And that's by the actor Fong Du. So, it's interesting to see there are some parallels between him and another character in Amy's life that highlight some of the things that she's dealing with.
Uh-huh.
It's funny with Fong. So the Asian American community is pretty tightly knit in New York,
mm-hmm.
The Asian American acting community. And most of us at least know of each other,
mm-hmm.
if not having directly worked with each other. So in the case with Fong, he and I have actually played various forms of relationships before, and I can say this with a couple of other actors in the community as well. He has played my son before, he has played my brother before, and
wow.
he played my assistant. So that was also another thing about the film that I really enjoyed. It was having a chance to work with some actors that I've heard of before or that I knew of through other venues, and to actually have the opportunity to work with them, and then to work with people who I've worked with before in a different capacity, and it's kind of like a mini reunion on set sometimes.
Yes.
And there's a level of comfort that brings, which was really nice.
Yes. And we are talking with Amy Chang, who plays Amy Chen in A New York Minute, which will have its world premiere at the 2019 Newport Beach Film Festival on Sunday, April 28th, 2019. It will follow up with the Los Angeles premiere at the Los Angeles Asian Pacific Film Festival. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Amy Chang.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. When we first saw the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, we were surrounded by a sea of blue hair. Not punk dye job blue, but the natural old age gray kind. And boy, did they love this story. 7 elderly Brits succumb to promotions of affordable luxury retirement living in India. Predictably, upon arrival, their accommodations offer less than the luxury depicted, setting the stage for a rich tableau of reaction, story, and experience. This film features prime British acting royalty. Dame Judi Dench, Dame Maggie Smith, Bill Nighy, and Tom Wilkinson, to name a few. Not everyone may recognize these names, but suffice it to say that their mastery in the art of character would make utterly fascinating their reading of a dictionary. And They have been given a wonderfully sensitive and comedic story to complement their considerable talents. Sure, the storyline of aging, hope, disappointment, staying positive, and facing death turns out older viewers. So, not about the young? Of course it is. Time marches forward, and all can thoroughly enjoy contemplation of what is current for some, and future for the rest. Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Welcome back to the Reasonable Voices Talk News Radio program. Again, my guest is Amy Chang. She is the star of the film In a New York Minute. She plays the character of Amy Chen, a food critic suffering from an eating disorder. Now, there's an understatement because there's truly a great deal more going on in a New York Minute and with the character that Amy Chang plays. And we've been talking about a number of the characters with whom she is, her character relates within this story. Amy, your character seems to make a lot of course changes after her visit. We spoke about the visit with your mother in that scene. How do you feel about that? And how does the character justify those? Because few of them are surprised other characters in the film. Let's put it that way.
So, as an actor, it was really lovely to go through that journey with Amy to from where she began to where she ends. I think most actors would say that it's always that's what we look for, is to have that change from where you start to where you end. And I think for Amy, she had reached a point where she realized what she had been doing hadn't been working. And so she decided she needed to make a change. And so this provided an opportunity for that, because I think she was just looking for a solution to what she was going through. And she just had to do something different. And so this is the way that she wanted to go about it.
And the character Amy Chen goes about it by expanding her professional point of view as well. It's not just that she is, of course, going on a personal journey that has certain struggles and challenges, as do we all, but she makes changes. Initially, those changes are primarily professional, what she should do in her business. How did you see that is that something we do? Do we try out new things professionally before we try them personally? What do you think?
I think for everybody it's a little bit different, but I think it speaks to how, kind of what I was saying earlier, that everybody deals with different parts of maybe something that they're hiding, whether from the outside world or for themselves. Everyone deals with that differently, and so whether it's professionally or personally, it's all going to bleed together. So she starts, in Amy's case, she started in her professional life, but you see how that also affects her personal life and vice versa. I think we as humans try to compartmentalize our lives sometimes because we're just trying to have control. And usually that does not work out that well. Life has a way of just, you know, taking your plans and saying, no, I don't think that's going to happen. We're going to do it this way. Yeah. And it's all going to affect each other. So I think even if it was just to change one part of her life, it ends up affecting all aspects of it.
Absolutely, because it's all connected. You make a change in one part of your life, and it has to affect, because the change is you. It's always, that's where the change is, really. We think it's an external change because we're doing things outside of ourselves, but really the change has taken place inside, and so there it is. Which makes me ask my favorite question, especially with film people, but it is a question I ask a lot of people, and I certainly spend a lot of time in front of the mirror asking it. Is there a balance, and do you have it? Because if you do, I want you to tell me how to find it. Is there a balance between personal happiness and professional achievement? I'm a Libra, and my mother used to tell me this. The scales are constantly tipping back and forth as they seek the balance, and that's where the balance is, not in a steady scale. What do you think?
I think your mother is a smart lady. and I would have to agree with her. It's funny that you mentioned that you're a Libra, because I was going to say I'm a Virgo, and I think, you know, everybody deals with that balance differently. And also just what we want out of life will determine where that balance is. Mm-hmm. I think if we're referencing wise women, my aunt is a large part of my life, and mm-hmm. I remember her saying that most people can only handle three major components in their life, whether it's marriage, work, and children, or if it's church and work and personal life. But when we try to go beyond that, something has to give. For everybody there, those three things are going to vary, and what we prioritize is going to be different. But so I don't think the balancing isn't going to be the same for everybody, meaning like the proportions are going to be different, but yes, what those proportions are can be harmonious, and that's what personal fulfillment will be.
Yes,
for that individual.
Yes. Here's a question for Amy Chen. In relationships and life, does Amy Chen think that family and friends and colleagues and analysts ask the right questions?
That is a good question. Do family and colleagues ask the right questions? I think she was still figuring that out. I think she was trying to give more weight to what others thought, mm-hmm. and she was coming to a point where she realized she had to listen more for herself, herself, mm-hmm. and if she didn't know that, she had to discover it.
Because I think anyone's journey in life, and when well written as Mandy has done, the characters' journeys are, as I said, everyone's on one, but they don't end the same way, and they don't have, you know what I mean? Also, that a journey is not straight up or straight down. It zigzags. But I'm just wondering if before she makes any final, okay, I know who I am, I know what I want, and I'm going to act like it from now on, or live like it from now on, does she try the big compromise first?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I don't think she has admitted to herself that that's also part of one of the challenges that she's dealing with. I think, and it's so funny, can I just say also that because there is a bit of a, I would say, like a reveal to my character's story, trying to talk around it.
I know, and I am too, and I appreciate it. You want to know the whole truth and nothing but the truth? See the movie in a New York minute.
I think that's part of the reason why she is struggling, is because she is trying to find that compromise.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's one, and it is a takeoff anyway on a beautiful line I feel in the movie In a New York Minute. Do you believe life demands that we choose between love or freedom? Are the two mutually exclusive?
Oh, definitely not. I think love is freedom. When you have the good fortune to find that love in whatever form, it opens you up to so much more of life. And that is a form of freedom that I think you don't have if you don't have that support system.
I'm wondering, though, what happens in life? What happens when people get tired of waiting?
Well, I think a lot of people, if they get tired of waiting, either they give up, sadly, and they resign themselves to you know, this is what my life is now, or sometimes they might find destructive outlets, and, you know, that's an unfortunate thing, or they are... they have the fortune of discovering something else that maybe takes them on a different route, and it's a lovely surprise to their life.
Yes. What are some of the, for you, Amy, what are some of the hidden gems in the film and A New York Minute?
I really love the way that Mandy had the three main characters' lives intersect, because it's not so much about how they affect each other in a very strong way. It's just subtle, and I think very much to the title, it's just these moments, these minutes.
Yes.
I thought that she did a really nice job of doing that, so that they do intersect, but it's not so much about their interaction directly. So that was really nice. And then also, I think what you said, the fact that there are three strong female leads,
mm-hmm.
that they're Asian and Asian American leads, and then that it's the, even though the male characters are also strong, it's kind of a reversal of the traditional, like, it's the men supporting the women.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a nice experience. And also that the director and the DP and the heads of many of the departments were all strong females. So it was just a really warm and inviting environment to work in, and I really enjoyed that.
Yes. And I'm glad that was one of the things you mentioned, because certainly in A New York Minute is told from the woman's POV. And we didn't mention, I don't think, that the writer-director, it's her first feature film, yes? Feature-length
yes.
film?
Uh-huh. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's quite an outcoming, an outpouring for the first time out the gate, I think.
Yes.
Again, a strong cast. And of course, uh-huh. one of the things that attracts actors, but is the first thing that attracts actors is the work. But one of the, you know, once you get the work, it is the script. And we make, I've worked in soaps, so I know how you sometimes have to make a script work. But in this case, this script seems to marry so well to each of the people she has cast in this film. And I just found that that's really, for me, the beauty of a slice of life film. If, as you watch it, you cannot imagine anyone else saying those words, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the casting process must have been really enjoyable. We also, Wang Chang was the casting director on this film,
mm-hmm.
and he's also, I mentioned earlier about the Asian American acting community, he's also a mainstay in the community. I think many times when I've met an Asian American or Asian actor who I'm not familiar with, I'll ask, oh, do you know Wayne Chang? And everyone's like, oh yeah, of course we know Wayne.
Yes.
And he, I think a lot of credit has to be given to him for bringing together the collection of actors who portrayed these characters, what he knew of each of us, and whatever advice or influence he gave Mandy in terms of, like, who should play which part. I think, like you said, I couldn't imagine anyone else playing Nina but Celia, or Angel but mm-hmm. me, and many of the other characters.
Yes, yes. Well, we're going to have to go soon, but I want to ask you as the actor, what do you take away from In a New York Minute, and what do you want us to take away from it?
Well, one thing that really stayed with me was that these three women were, in a way, they were at different stages of their lives, and it was nice for me to play the later versions of life, or later stages of life, I would say. So my character was a little older, a little more established mm-hmm. than the other two leads, and even still, she was trying to figure herself out. And I think that's true in life, that we're constantly growing, we're constantly learning about ourselves, about the world. And I think there's this idea that a lot of films now tend to focus on, you know, pretty young things, let's say. Mm. It was nice to have a little more mature character in the story. So I really enjoyed that. And then just the different journeys that each of these characters was going through and how they did interact.
Yes. And what should we take away from it, we the audience?
Yes. I would love for the audience to take away the idea of, even if they don't have an experience of, you know, the very specific experience of an Asian or Asian American individual, that you can still find something that is reflective of your own life.
Yes.
And some way that you can relate and the universality of our experiences.
Well, I can attest that that's true. I'm Italian-American, and I felt so much as I watched it. I think I said this very early on at the beginning of our first segment, that what drew me into the film In a New York Minute is that it both has these very specific cultural issues, but they certainly are couched within the reality that all of us are making similar journeys. All of us, doesn't matter where you come from, what you look like. Life presents us with challenges, with joys, with relationships, with everything, and we're all doing our best to live it at its best. What do you think?
Yes, and I'll just say also that I love that Mandy in her story highlights these different aspects of the Asian or Asian American experience, but she doesn't hit you over the head with it, and that's what makes the film so relatable to anyone who watches it.
Yes, that's what I mean when I say entertaining. It is warming and moving, and you know, you may be walking home after you see it before you go, oh. And I love that. You know, let it simmer a while. All right.
Right.
Well, we do have to go, and I hate doing that, but I must. We've been talking with Amy Chang, who's one of the three stars in the film In a New York Minute. She plays Amy Chen, a food critic suffering from an eating disorder. That alone is challenging, huh? But there's much more to it than that, trust me. Let me remind everyone, In a New York Minute will have its world premiere at the 2019 Newport Beach Film Festival on Sunday, April 28th, 2019. It will follow up with a Los Angeles premiere at the Los Angeles Asian Pacific Film Festival. Amy, do you have any sort of internet, website, social media information you can give us so we know how to find tickets and what we need to do, that sort of thing?
Yes. So in a New York Minute, you can find the Instagram, and also on Facebook, we have a page. And my personal website is amychangactress.com, very easy to remember.
Yes.
And you can also find me on Instagram as Miss Tempt Asian, with an A-S-I-A-N.
All right. You are just full of little, well, anyway, this has been absolutely terrific, Amy. Amy Chang, so really delighted that we had an opportunity to have this conversation. We wish you all the best in your career and within a New York Minute, okay?
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. Mutual. Bye now.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Australian director Bruce Beresford has been a well-respected director since his 1980 breakthrough film, Breaker Morant. With such Oscar-recognized films as Driving Miss Daisy and Tender Mercies to his credit, it should come as no surprise that he is a master of manipulated emotion. Mao's Last Dancer tells the true story of Lee Kunsen, plucked as a child from farm life in rural China to become a state-trained ballet dancer. Lee was a part of Mao Zedong's plan to develop great athletes and artists who could demonstrate to the world the triumph of Chinese communism. He is ultimately chosen by the state to travel to America, representing the superiority of his homeland. Lee interns with the Houston Ballet Theater and becomes a star,
when he decides to defect and remain in America, a potentially embarrassing major international incident looms. It's tempting to write off this film as jingoist propaganda and a manipulative tearjerker, but it is also a story well told, with great beauty in the dance and a basis in historical fact. Yes, Mao's Last Dancer is touching and magnificent entertainment. Tears do flow, and that's just fine with us. Indie Film Minute. Not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
I'm Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, thanking you for joining us and becoming one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. To change everything, it only takes a few from left, right, and center. Famously, Americans surfing issues too often settle for superficialities, thus often missing the depth of truth. Chief Justice Roberts confessed the egregious reality of the leaked abortion draft, written by Justice Alito, who believes Roe v. Wade was egregiously wrong from the start, akin perhaps to the egregiously misleading "government is the problem," "mission accomplished," and "America first." Either way, we now know there is a distinct difference between our two major political parties, and we have been given the knowledge is power freedom to choose which America we want to be. There is no denying we are a nation divided against itself, choosing to make every incident dramatically inflated on television honey on the palate of today's caliber of media talking heads, eagerly embracing repetition that often mesmerizes with gushing, garrulous gossip. What is America's weakest link between a self-determining American electoral process and the exceptionalism of America's dream of one person, one vote? Is it independence of both left and right, believing straddling the middle makes them untarnished by the tendency to ignore, or at least fail to prioritize, justice for all? Or is it a lack of concern for fellow Americans by non-voters? The answer is as simple as the means by which we are manipulated into serving as the swingers of our national political pendulum from extreme to extreme, ever increasing, defining ourselves neither this nor that. Given recent examples of Putin's unjustified and brutal invasion of Ukraine and his American clone, Donald Trump, mastering the art of the deal to steal the ability of a third of Americans to discern between the truth and the con, we can no longer afford to elect senators who can't discern the difference between honest testimony and the lies told by lying nominees nominated to the Supreme Court by our lying 45th president. Perhaps with even greater urgency, we can't afford to elect politicians who know the difference between the lie and the truth and choose to perpetuate the big lie, which incited treasonous insurrectionists on January 6, 2021, to attempt to hang a sitting vice president. Can we really continue to pretend that justice can exist for all in a land where women, African Americans, Asians, Latinx, Native Americans, and the mentally and physically challenged are treated as second-class citizens, and where seniors of every hue are too often ignored to death? Here is a much-needed reality check. 1. The government's problem is an electorate believing the elected are ensconced in lifetime position. 2. Arguably, free will is a divine calling to also preserve, protect, and defend life post-birth, including after children age out of our social health systems. 3. It's not Asian Americans who cause death by COVID, but the Americans who refuse to be vaccinated and wear a mask. 4. It's not Black, Brown, or LGBTQ Americans who sow hate. It's MAGA conservatives, whose greatest fear is being the minority. 5. It's not passionately defending your beliefs. It's those who violently refuse others the same freedom of expression. 6. What harms students of all ages is not sex education, but a lack of school funding and historical facts. In the 4 years I lived with the finest television writer with whom I've ever worked, I became the father of her amazing 6-year-old daughter, who taught me how to answer her life questions with wisdom that only came to me because of her. 1. Always listen to the children. 2. Find happiness in all you do. 3. Everything, absolutely everything our children do, comes from observing and mimicking us, because even before they reach their double digits, they are formed by all the things we've forgotten we were, as well as all the things we've become. As our infrastructure, children must be protected from all harm. But in today's divided America, more are harmed by ignorance, fear, gun violence, and deniers of a global pandemic and climate change that will kill even more than 1 million Americans. Like the children featured in Youth vs. Gov, I too believed the buck that has bought so many red state governors and legislators and rented so many conservative members of both houses of Congress would always stop within the hallowed halls of the Supreme Court. But we must now admit that that has not been true since Senator Mitch McConnell denied President Obama his constitutional duty to nominate to America's Supreme Court Merrick Garland. Yes, politically, it could matter who released Alito's draft, but more importantly, why now? And most importantly, what does our civic and political duty require us to do and be now that the iceberg tip has titanically warned of an imminent collision with collusion? Let us first cease aiding and abetting self-serving politicians whose supporters twist the words of the most famous man from Nazareth, and instead let us live the pragmatic and miraculous wisdom of love thy neighbor as thyself. Thank you, and join us. Become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world.
Thank you for continuing to listen to, support, and share the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with family and friends, especially online. We enjoy hearing from you, and in response, yes, we are now accepting new company and business advertisers and welcoming organizations seeking to be one of our sponsors. So please do continue to email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com. However, if you prefer to simply make a donation, your donations are greatly appreciated and can be made through PayPal by clicking on the donate button found at the top of the homepage of The Reasonable Voice. Website.
Thank you for joining us today to make every day as reasonable as possible. We hope you will download and share our downloadable podcasts. I'm Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world.